Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, friends, and welcome to the mini edit from Edit Your Life. In these snack-sized mini episodes, I answer your questions about everything from self-care to parenting to relationships to home and more. Think of me like that friend you text or call when you need a quick piece of compassionate and candid advice. Send me your questions. Today's mini edit focuses on a personal recommendation for your next doctor's visit. In early February, I shared a post on my Substack that really resonated with people. I received a lot of private messages, some public too, about the struggles that people have both with the medical system and body shaming and difficult relationships. Though that post went live in February, I wanted to wait to share it around the release of two excellent conversations regarding sex ed. One last week with the wonderful Melissa Pintor Carnegie, and one coming next week with Dr. Rachel Gibson. A big part of sex-positive, comprehensive sex ed focuses on relationships, not even the sex part, just the being a good human part. And if I had had support in that domain, I suspect my path would have been a little different. Now, this is probably the most sensitive ground I've covered on this show, so on one level, I want to recommend you not listen to this episode with kids around because of the sensitive subject matter. And second, I do want to issue the warning that this episode includes descriptions of an abusive relationship and disordered eating. So please take care while listening or skip it entirely if you're not in a space to process this subject matter. And so I can read the essay without interruption, I wanted to share two postscripts first that I shared in that original post. First, I will link up in the show notes an NBC News article called BMI is a flawed way to measure obesity, experts say. What else works? This article offers a recent primer and summary about BMI, including reference to the American Medical Association's positioning about BMI. And second, though I definitely had a few moments of, oh my God, why do we humans cause so many problems for ourselves? I did appreciate this Chasing Life podcast episode called Why Our Bodies Fight Us on Losing Weight for its evolutionary perspective on how fat was a protective measure for hunters and gatherers, and how fat percentage differs greatly for humans compared to far less complex mammals. Totally fascinating. This conversation reinforced my feelings that we need to stop fighting our bodies with diet culture and focus on treating ourselves well with basic things like hydration, good food, and movement that serves us, and, if you are like me, works to counterbalance time spent at a desk. In a nutshell, yes, we humans cause a lot of problems for ourselves, and that means we also have the capacity to treat ourselves well. We'll be right back. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/edit. As you know, I value stories and the connection that the sharing of stories can bring so much. And if you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, check out Storyworth. Storyworth is all about celebrating and preserving stories. Every week, Storyworth emails a loved one of your choosing a question prompt that you pick. For example, how did you decide when to have children? And what was your mom like when you were a child? Your loved one simply responds to the email with a story of any length. You will receive copies of these emails, and after 1 year, Storyworth compiles the stories and any photos provided into a keepsake book. Funny enough, I was just chatting with a neighbor who told me that her mom gifted copies of her Storyworth album to immediate family members, and literally everyone was crying, in a good, loving way. I loved this example because while yes, Storyworth is a great gift between a parent and kid, in this case, it was a gift from sister to sister that then was shared across generations. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/edit. That's storyworth.com/edit to save $10 on your first purchase. Here's the essay I published in February called A Tip for Your Next Doctor's Visit. In my experience, Koreans are blunt. It could be a language thing. I'm on a 321-day Korean Duolingo streak and have yet to encounter words that soften or convey subtlety. Even so, growing up, it was common to hear judgments such as, you're overweight, often coupled with the confounding directive, clean your plate. As a kid of naturally medium build who enjoyed eating, these directives did not apply to me. I didn't think about my weight at all until the summer after my freshman year of college. The spring of my freshman year, my parents told me they needed to shift their financial priorities. I was on my own financially from that point forward, and as such, started working long hours. During college breaks, I temped from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at office jobs in Boston, after which I took the train and bus to work an evening job at an ice cream store until 11 p.m. I watched my bank balance with a steady thrum of anxiety and fear because every minute counted wherever I was punching in terms of earning enough to cover my next semester's tuition. As a result, I tried to squeeze in working minutes at every turn, tightening my commute route and eventually skipping mealtimes. Had I been in a normal connection dynamic with friends and family, I think I would have course-corrected on this behavior. But at the time, I was a year into a relationship rife with manipulation and toxicity that involved isolating me from loved ones. As the pounds started to fall off my frame, he said, "You're starting to look good." These words are less blunt than "you're overweight," but just as sharp. In retrospect, I see the intentionality of the comment. Criticizing me was almost like a hobby for him. I was berated for everything from the pace at which I walked, to the speed with which I depressed the gas pedal when driving his car, to what I wore. He loathed the leggings I'd grown to love freshman year, to the length of my hair. He made blistering comments about my family and friends to plant seeds of doubt and drive isolation. He ridiculed the names in my college's commencement program for being waspy and privileged, to make me feel bad about the place where I was finally finding my feet. There didn't seem to be anything about me that he couldn't weaponize. And so, even though his comment about my unintentional weight loss was pointed and mean, it felt like a compliment, something to grasp onto. I grasped on, and so commenced a summer of restriction and unsuccessful attempts at purging when I lapsed and ate something other than produce. The scale that I had never paid attention to in my parents' bathroom now became a daily fixation, often multiple times a day. In my mind, there was a direct correlation between losing weight and being less abused, which of course was not the case, but I was 18 years old and didn't know any better. As the summer wore on, I earned tiny breadcrumbs of praise as I continued to shed pounds. It felt like such a relief that I just kept going. I dropped from a size 10 to 12 to a size 4 that summer. And then I got lucky. The seasons turned and I headed back to college for sophomore year. A couple of friends expressed their worry and encouraged me back to being the person they knew, someone who laughed and could be lighthearted, someone who could take a break every now and then, someone who delighted in eating with friends and trying anything on the menu. What a gift it is to have friends who will issue the loving straight talk. And what a blessing it was to return to campus at that time. It was almost as if the college perimeter served as an enveloping force field. It turned out the campus perimeter did prove to have some protective power. There were only two occasions where this person crossed the line and stepped onto campus, and his discomfort was clear. He instead took to parking his car and watching me from the main access road. It would take another year and a half to break off this relationship, during which time I worked to distance myself in the campus protective force field and gained back some weight, earning me the title Porky Pig. Seriously, what an asshole. After I graduated and moved on to the adulting phase of my life, I vowed never to own a scale. I simply wanted to feel comfortable and happy in my clothes. And this tactic has worked great. I highly recommend it. Fast forward to 30s, sometime after carrying two babies and experiencing the typical metabolism changes associated with aging. Every time I went in for a routine medical visit, despite being a reasonably fit person of medium build, fit enough to even run a few half marathons, my BMI always came back with the label overweight. Sometimes the staff would tell me this fact and also say something along the lines of, "Don't take that number seriously. Obviously, you are not overweight." They said this lightly, and yet I found myself perplexed. If this number didn't need to be taken seriously, why was it being reported to me? And so every visit since, I asked the staff not to read out my weight and BMI. It has no bearing on my everyday life other than conjuring judgment with a label that does not square up with my physique and health condition. It pains me a little to say this as a former scientist who loves numbers, but numbers don't always serve you. This past Friday, I had my annual checkup, and as usual, I told the physician's assistant I didn't need to know my weight, but that I wanted to know my height since this metric is a matter of cheerful dispute in my house. I stood with my back facing the digital read. I wondered if the PA made a quick note in my chart because I appreciated that later, when my PCP ran through my chart with me, there was a brief pause at one point, and she said something like, "Your numbers look good, and you are in good health." After I got home, I did have a moment of curiosity, especially as I thought about writing this post. I decided that later that morning, after I caught up on work emails, and if I still felt like knowing, I would look at the printed post-visit summary I was provided. I did look, and the second metric reported after blood pressure is BMI. Per usual, I am overweight. I smiled, shrugged, and moved on with my day, grateful for my excellent health, my unconditionally loving and supportive partner, and the existence of elastic waistband jeans, a wonderfully flexible companion for someone who lives in a climate with four seasons and whose shape shifts accordingly. And so, my advice is this. If you are in good health, yet find hearing readouts of things like weight and BMI annoying or triggering, just ask your medical staff not to share them with you. I've always found staff to be respectful and accommodating of this simple request. Related, if you decide you do want to know the information, consider the data later when you are not, say, in the disempowered position of being almost naked in a space that can feel very vulnerable. You only have one body. Give it all the respect and love and grace it deserves. I hope this was helpful, friends. And if you have a question for me, please drop me a line at edityourlifeshow@gmail.com or DM or comment on a post on Facebook or Instagram at edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.